Welcome, my friends. I'm Dave Champion. This is my co-host, Bill Carnes, and together we are totally unprepared. You know, a lot of times we talk about on this show things concerning law enforcement, and another stunning example just wound up in the news about how police mischaracterize. Now, it may seem like we're consistently beating this same drum, but I think it's important. The reason I think it's important to hold these stories up when they come out is because there's a certain segment of the population that would have America falsely believe that the cops who do the kind of things we're about to mention are the minority. Okay? And a minority, a tiny minority.
Yeah, I think it's one of these la-la-la-la-la sort of affairs.
Absolutely.
They don't want to believe that the government is corrupt. They don't want to believe that a good segment of police officers are bad guys.
Yep.
They don't want to believe that we hired the wrong people, we have the wrong practices of doing things.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people take umbrage when you use them like, you know, a lot of cops are the bad guys. So if you're taking umbrage with that, just say a lot of cops are not doing a great job and they're doing a lot of stuff they shouldn't do that harms you or harms your neighbor or harms your children and harms your community.
Okay? Yeah, and I shorten all those words down into bad guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So however you want to do it to make yourself feel better.
So here's I thought this was a splendid example of how police officers lie, even in trivial matters, yes? Gal is driving down the road. This is in the state of Minnesota. Gal's driving down the road, la, 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 going to work in the morning, right? And she raises a coffee cup. She stopped and got some coffee on the way to work. And she's driving along, sipping her coffee. Okay? Boop! The lights come on, the sirens come on. She gets pulled over. And she gets a citation for distracted driver. Minnesota's distracted driver statute.
The female officer that pulled her over, as the story goes, asked her repeatedly, do you know why I stopped you?
No. Right.
Do you know why I stopped you? No. Do you know why? I have no idea why you stopped me.
Right.
Because you're drinking coffee. What do you mean because I'm drinking coffee? You're distracted driving.
Right.
If she wasn't doing anything else wrong, how could she possibly have been distracted?
Right. Now, of course, if you're wondering, if you're thinking to yourself, wait, coffee, really? This is over the line, okay? It gets worse. So the reporter who's covering this, who picks the story up and covers it, he goes down to the local police station in that area, and he says, I would like to know if you think that this is a valid application of this law. And the sergeant says, now this is a sergeant. Now, I don't know how law enforcement works these days as far as promotions. For instance, back in my day, you had to have 7 or 8 years on to be an FTO. Now I understand guys that have like 18 months on in some agencies are FTOs. That's field training officers, by the way. They're the ones who train guys coming directly out of the academy. It was unheard of for somebody to become a sergeant 30 years ago unless he had 10, 12, 15 years on the job. So I don't know how it is today, how rapidly guys can make sergeant, but nevertheless, you've got quite a few years on by the time you make sergeant, and you should, you know, when you're talking about something as simple as a traffic statute, when you're a sergeant, it's presumed you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So the sergeant tells the reporter, I cannot comment on this specific citation, but I make the general statement that the law is on the side of the officer in this case. Now, how true is that, Bill?
Well, if he actually read the law, it was a complete lie.
Yeah. Complete blatant lie. Now,
and you would think he would know that he was going to be asked that question because reporters call up and they say, hey, look, we're covering this story. We'd like to come down and talk to somebody about this. Okay, great. Why don't you come on down? Grab the law book, flip it open, read through the law. Now I'm prepared.
Right, right. So because of my angry truck rants, which I'm going to be talking about a little bit in my segment, I looked into Nevada's distracted driving statute, and I know exactly what it says. So I'm looking at this Minnesota case. Now, the other thing is the courts have ruled time and time again that when the legislature passes a law that says, Bill, you can't do this, what this is that you can't do has to be clear. Okay? It can't be at the discretion of the officer to make it up as he goes or she goes. You're drinking coffee.
Smoking a cigarette.
You're talking to a passenger. You went to swat your kid for misbehaving in the back seat. You know, the law can't be so vague that the executive branch officer, which in this case would be a cop, can just make stuff up. It has to be identifiable what is prohibited. The courts have said this time and time again, and anything that fails that test is unconstitutional.
And the Minnesota law that you looked up,
yes,
was very, very specific.
Oh!
You sent me a copy of it. I looked
crystal
at it.
Crystal clear.
Very specific.
Yes. And the bottom line is, and we can go into the whole language, but the bottom line is that it deals 100% with these mobile devices. That's it. There's no such language such as including, you know, but not limited to. There's no language like that. It's distracted driving is no driver shall access the internet, create any sort of electronic message, send any sort of a message. And then there are exemptions. Things like GPSs are exempted. While on duty driving emergency services vehicle, those personnel are exempted.
Provided it deals with their job.
Correct. And it's crystal clear. It's all about sending and receiving messages via the internet on a mobile device.
Or talking without a handheld device.
Right. Hands-free device, right. That's it. That's the entire statute. And so it's bad enough that the patrol officer would cite somebody for drinking coffee, but then to have the sergeant tell the media that that's what the statute authorizes, that is a blatant out-and-out lie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just saying, I know you're going to spread this story to millions of people. Let me lie to you now.
Yeah, let me lie about a stupid ticket that the officer, because it would be unfathomable to say, yeah, after reviewing the law, we realized that was a bit of a misapplication right there.
A bit.
we're going to have a little bit of remedial training with that particular deputy, and we're going to talk about this same thing in our briefings for the rest of the squads so they understand that's not the way it was intended to be applied, and we won't be writing tickets for that. That's the hero not lying to everybody and
right.
Trying to cover it up. Yeah. Now, Dave, let me ask you. You have a couple of different trucks, right? How many different drink holders do you have in your primary vehicle?
Four.
How many are accessible from the driver's seat?
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what's in the back seat. That's just what's available in the front.
Right.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen a car in 20 years made without at least a couple of cup holders.
Right. Right. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, I take a sip, I put the coffee down, I don't drink coffee, but, you know, whatever beverage, driving along, take another sip, set it down, driving along, right? Eyes never come off the road. Maybe if you glance down at the cup, but that's not even the glancing at your radio, glancing at your blinker or anything
glancing
else.
Glancing
right?
At the speedometer.
Correct.
Glancing in your rearview mirror.
And, but you know what I find, something that limits drivers to one-handed driving? Okay, I've noticed these new, what do they call them, e-cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
Okay, the electronic things. Obviously, I drive a truck. It's elevated. I can see into many people's vehicles. And here's how I see the people who are addicted to these e-cigarettes. Time and time again, I've even pointed out to people, hey, watch, look at this. And they drive like this.
Yeah.
Clutching their e-cigarette right here.
There's no place for them to put that e-cigarette.
Right, because like there's a place to put your cigarette. There's a little dovetail stuff in the ashtray, or you can drive with it conveniently in your fingers. But with this thing, they drive like this, which basically renders them a one-handed driver.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the L.A. County Sheriff's Sergeant.
Yes, let's.
That just got sentenced. He was the 12th person to get sentenced, I think.
12th person on this gig.
He got
12th
years.
Deputy.
12th deputy.
Yes.
8 years.
8 years in a federal penitentiary. And what he did was he supervised, he approved, and from all reports, he sort of drove the action. A guy went into the main Los Angeles County Jail on Boucher Street. I'm somewhat familiar with that. I've run prisoners for that back in the day. I always went in the back, so.
Inmates. They weren't prisoners, man. They were inmates.
Well, when I had them, they're prisoners. They're not inmates until they get there.
Well, when you had them, they were suspects.
Yeah, there you go. But I'm unfamiliar with how the front end works. But according to the story, there's a demarcation point past which cell phones may not go. And this fellow who took the ass whooping.
Had his cell phone.
Had a cell phone, and he went past that demarcation point. And instead of just, I mean, I don't know how the deputies make these decisions, but instead of just dealing with it, they arrested him. Okay?
Yep.
You know, sir, we're going to take your cell phone and put it back out at the front counter. You can pick it up. But instead, they cuff him. Okay? And the story goes that a couple of the deputies start pushing him. Like, they want him to move. And instead of, you know, the custodial grip, you know, and moving, they start pushing him. And he's like, hey, dude, what are you doing? And they push him again. And he makes a comment and he says, if I didn't have handcuffs on, this would be going differently. Okay. They slam him up against a, what do you call those, not convenience machines, what are they?
A wall?
No, they slammed him in one of the machines. They were in the actually...
Vending machine?
Vending machines, thank you. They were actually in a deputy's lunchroom at the time.
Oh, okay.
That's where they had taken
him.
Oh,
yeah, that's where you book people. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, get him out of the public hallway. They took him into this private area, slammed him up against the vending machine,
threw him on the floor,
and then proceeded to beat him to a pulp for one... He was cuffed. He was already cuffed because he said, if I didn't have these cuffs on, this would be going differently.
Yeah.
And this sergeant oversaw that process.
Yeah, including kicking him while he's down, kicking him in his head. The photographs were brutal.
They were.
And he ended up going to the hospital.
Yep.
They failed to do any sort of prosecution from the internal investigation. Oh, no. Internal investigation doesn't show anything wrong. The feds finally went in there.
Let's focus on that, though. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Internal Affairs Division said the deputies there in that beating did nothing wrong.
Right.
So if you think there's integrity in the internal affairs investigation of police agencies, think again. And there were multiple witnesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And video. The whole jail is video.
Yeah.
So, you know, the cops investigating themselves, regardless of their position or where they were, what their assignment is ridiculous. So the feds went in there. They're convicting all kinds of these guys, trying them and convicting them on civil rights violations.
And conspiracy, because they all engaged in a massive cover-up, evidence tampering, lying to cover each other.
Yeah, and conspiracy to commit any crime is a felony.
Right.
If you and I conspire to jaywalk,
right,
that is a felony by nature.
Yeah.
So same thing would hold true for these guys. So all kinds of felonies going on. And, of course, you end up with their internal affairs. Oh, no, nothing's good. Now, this is the largest sheriff's department in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Baca, best sheriff money can buy.
True that.
Allegedly.
Yep.
And, you know, if you want to get a concealed weapons permit in
LA County.
LA County, you better find a way to raise $50,000, $60,000 for his reelection campaign.
That's about it. Or be a judge.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back with Day's Rant right after this.
And surprise, here we are again, and now it's time for... What is up with people continually lying to make their point? Yes, I have covered this on my rant again. I've covered it before, and I'm going to cover it again. The reason I want to cover it again is I think there are some perfect examples. Just like in the first segment, that case out of Minnesota was a perfect example of how line officers lie and their command structure lies to cover them. Well, here's another perfect case of showing how people lie. You'll remember the case of the deputy, Ben Fields, who smashed a 16-year-old female student on the ground in the classroom and then drug her across the floor 15 feet and then handcuffed her and kneeled on her back. You probably remember seeing all that. I actually did what I guess have become known as the angry truck rants. I did one of those about 7 or 8 days ago concerning that incident. It has now, as I'm talking to you today, been viewed over 7 million times. As you can imagine, with people seeing that video 7 million times, I have been deluged with email to the Dave Champion public figure page on Facebook. Deluge is an understatement. Some days 700-800 emails, right? Crazy. Can't even keep up with it. But I browse the emails and respond to those that I can. It comes with the turf. You're going to make the video and put it up there. You should be interacting with your public. And so it's interesting to see the false claims made by the people who are trying to defend that douchebag, Deputy Ben Fields, and what he did. Some examples of that. Clearly, if you watch the video, there's no question that what happened. She's sitting there peacefully. Now, am I saying she was in the right as far as following school policy? Because that's what people do. Okay, when you say the officer was wrong, well, you know, it was her fault. No, there's a difference between not adhering to school policy versus a rapid violent assault. The two don't go together at all. She was sitting at her desk calmly. her laptop was open, sitting in the class, and Deputy Ben Fields comes along and says, stand up. And she says one word. Sitting with her hands folded in front of her at the desk, she says, no. He says, now, and it's amazing, some people characterize that as disrespect. Okay? Man, if that's disrespect, then the teachers back in my day, oh, did they have some disrespect coming their way. Just no, it baffles me that people want to characterize that as disrespect. It might be lack of cooperation. I don't think it rises to the level of disrespect. He says, stand up or I'm going to make you stand up. Whoa, we can see this coming, right? She says no. Again. Boom! She gets slammed on the ground, dragged across the floor. Okay, now, the lies start by the people who want to defend this piece of crap when they take still photographs from the moving video. The moving video shows that it's crystal clear what happened. But what they do, for instance, is they freeze the video as she's being flipped backwards and her arms are up in the air. Now, for those of you, probably more men than women, how many times have you been in a chair with your buddies, perhaps when you were younger, and you had the chair tip back a little bit, and one of your buddies decides to be a joker, and he grabs the chair and whoop, rips it back real fast? What's the first thing that happens with your hands? They go up and out. The reason is it is an autonomic response trying to change the balance and momentum so that you don't fall backwards. You couldn't stop that motion with your hands if you tried. It's an autonomic response. That's exactly what that young black girl had, was an autonomic response. But as the chair goes back, if my hands go up and out, now you can't my chair back 35 degrees, my hands come up. Where is his face? Right there. So from the camera angle, if you are a conniving SOB, and you stop the video right there when her hands are passing Ben Fields' face and say, look, she hit him in the face. Look, you could put Bill and I in a car next to one another, and suddenly we get slammed into laterally by, I don't know, a pickup truck. And as we're flying around on video, you could probably find a moment when Bill's arm was passing my face or my arm was passing his face and freeze it there and claim we were hitting one another, okay? It's nonsense. Claims that she grabbed him. And again, they stop the footage showing her arm in a particular position and say she's grabbing, she's attacking the deputy. Okay? These are absolute lies, and I don't understand. And I don't understand why somebody would want to destroy their own credibility and integrity by telling blatant lies to try and get their point across. And this is a perfect example. And the last one, and the most absurd one that has come up, it's so absurd, anybody who says it should probably go get some sort of mental health care. That when the deputy reached out for her chair, she flung herself backwards to make it look like the deputy had attacked her. You have to be a low-life piece of crap to engage in that sort of thing. And it's very clear when you watch the video, not frozen in time, exactly what happened. Now, well, that there's enough lies about that. And by the way, the deputy was fired. Okay. And remember, under the law in all the states, but that happened in South Carolina. Did I go look up the South Carolina law? I did. And a school cop has no other authority than any other cop. He can only lay hands on somebody who has violated, upon whom he has reasonable suspicion, either is about to commit a crime, just did commit a crime, or is just about to commit a crime, reasonable suspicion to detain. He can lay his hands on the person for the purpose of detainment. He can lay his hands on the person for a purpose of arrest if he has probable cause. He has no authority to lay his hands on anybody for a violation of school policy. That's not in the law. That's not constitutional. That's not what he's allowed to do, for the people who think that that was a good thing. Now, by the way, again, just to clarify, stating that he abused his power when passed the law, violated the Constitution, because reasonable suspicion and probable cause, what allows him to lay his hands on people, is constitutional principles. To say all of that is not to say that the girl saying no was appropriate. The response was wholly inappropriate. Now, in addition to that, then they get to me. These are how the Ben Fields douchebag supporters act. Okay? So let me tell you a little bit about, apparently, according to them, who I am. I am a liberal. That's because in today's America, with what I now call the progressive right, if you do not worship, get down on your knees and worship the state, you're a liberal. Okay? I'm sorry. If you do not worship the state when it has uniforms and guns, you're a liberal. What else am I? so many things they accuse me of. I think the best one of all is that, I know, I'm a redneck. Born and raised in L.A., and I'm a redneck. And the best of all, love this one, it's crystal clear, this is them speaking, it's crystal clear that I am an ex-con. Bill, did you know I was an ex-con?
I didn't.
Surprise, surprise.
I know that you got locked up for invoking your Fifth Amendment right for a few hours, but that was the most I knew. What did you get convicted of?
Actually, I didn't get thrown in jail for that. I got thrown in jail when I said, I'm going to go ahead and take the Fifth on that. The judge said, if you take the Fifth in my courtroom, you're going to jail. Okay. And I said, I can't say it because Noah will have to do extra work. I said, to the I was so infuriated, I kind of forgot where I was at. you're going to tell me that if I exercise a constitutional right, you're going to put me in a slammer? I stood up, my chair went flying, and I said, pluck you, to the judge. And he said, clerk, call the marshals. And so I spent about 6 or 7 hours down in the basement jail for contempt of asshole. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's my big experience being in a slammer.
Well, with that being said, when certain people hold so tight to the belief of one thing or another,
yeah,
they will lie, cheat, steal, articulate their way, la la la, their way around facing the truth.
Yeah.
And if somebody really wants, and I got to tell you, the way I see this, I think I see a lot of racial motivation in this.
Oh, so
it's like, look, this white cop was trying to do the right thing, and this unholy black girl was disrespecting him and not doing what she was told.
I think you're spot on, because I think there's a lot of...
I think this is a ridiculous argument or position to be in.
I think there's a lot of anger after Ferguson. I'm sorry, not anger, fear after Ferguson in the white community. I think there's a lot of fear after the Eric Garner thing and then that black guy executing two police officers, the Baltimore riots. I think there's a lot of fear in the white community, which I don't get, okay? And I think you're spot on. I think what those people who are so fearful say, that's why they're so angry at me, because I'm pushing their fear.
And okay. Yeah, and you don't share it.
Right. And I'm not mocking their fear. I didn't even know that it existed. But I think what they're doing is they're painting Ben Fields as the representation of all that is righteous about white America. And we're going to show those uppity niggers their place. Okay. I think that's really what they see in Ben Fields.
Yeah.
I think you're spot on.
You're talking Ben Fields, a.k.a. Officer Slam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, the Officer other nickname Slam. I found out was the Slammer.
The Slammer.
The Slammer. And yeah. I found out these nicknames, by the way, from the girl's family and other students have posted. But I had a telephone conversation with the victim's family. She's got mental health issues. She was in treatment for schizophrenia. Okay. And the treatment center determined that she had progressed well enough to go back to public school. Okay. She was in a group home because of her schizophrenia and some issues with her mom. And the story was that her mom had died in the press, all over the press. Not true. Her mom's alive and well. Well, at least alive. I don't know how well. And the last thing you want to do, she's got schizophrenia and bipolar, which together I think they call it
Schizopolaria?
No,
just came up with
schizoactive
that.
Or something like that. I forget the exact term. But the last thing you want to do, and the school was well aware of her background, her medical history. The last thing you want to do with somebody with that medical history is send a thug who's going to react instantly in a violent manner to being told no.
Right.
Yeah. It's absurd. But the point is, Bill, you and I talk a lot about liberty and about the future of this country. And how is it possible to have a free country, to have a country where we are capable of self-governance? And I talked about this a lot as the Dave Champion Show was wrapping up, as I knew I was going to end that. If people act like this, and they're so willing to lie and compromise the truth and compromise their own integrity, but most especially the truth, in a land of lies, you can't have liberty.
No, it's irrational fear. And I think the last time we had an absence of irrational fear where people weren't worried about other people's skin colors and religions was 9/12.
Yeah, you may be right.
We'll be right back. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for my rant. Here it comes. You know what really grinds my gears? People who allow themselves to be completely insignificant in life. They accomplish really nothing. They add really nothing. But all they do is they just remind you how insignificant they are. When they bring nothing to the table. Oftentimes, because that's just the way they want to be. They want to bring nothing to the table. Which is fine. If you want to bring nothing to the table, you don't really want to add anything to society, please, don't just distract from the rest of us. Just stay in your little insignificant world, doing your own little insignificant things, and please don't do your level-headed best to remind all of us just how insignificant you really are. You know, I used to work with a guy years ago. And a few years back, I hadn't seen him in years. I see the guy. And he's carrying a gun into a post office. Now, a judge right here in the Western states had just ruled, no, you can't do that. It was whether or not you could have a gun in your car in the parking lot on post office grounds. Because someone had pushed that envelope by arresting someone who had done that. The judge made it clear that at that time, I don't know if it's changed since then, that parking lots are okay because you can't command somebody. You have to leave your gun at home all day long if one of your stops happens to be the post office. Or you're going to have to park a half a block away in order to walk in because you're not allowed to have a gun in a car in the post office. It was inside the building. Well, this guy was inside the building. And I told him, you know, I see that you're carrying your gun. Good on you. However, so you know, carrying an exposed weapon in a post office is a violation according to a federal judge. And he said, oh, no, no, that's just in the back where the employees work and in the main customer service area. To which I correct him, no, that's not true. This ruling is less than a week old. It was very clear, even where these mailboxes are. So what did this guy tell me? Well, that federal judge is wrong. Not exactly understanding how this whole thing goes. The legislature makes the laws. The executive branch enforces the laws. Judicial branch interprets the laws. And that federal judge interpreted that law. That's how it's supposed to be. Now, this is a guy that I've always found to be incredibly insignificant in life. Talks a whole bunch, adds absolutely nothing to the conversation. And in fact, when it's all said and done, it was painful just to be around the guy. So when he said the federal judge was wrong, we're talking about a guy with double-digit IQ here, and my response was, you know what? You might be right. And I was just done. I was done with the conversation. I was not going to bang my head against the wall, trying to keep this guy from possibly someday getting arrested and then being charged with a federal crime on a federal post office piece of property. Because he wanted to carry his gun inside of there. Now, I don't agree with the law. I'm just trying to help this guy out because he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Not the brightest bulb in the socket. Not the whatever you could otherwise say. Just kind of a dolt, if you will. Dave, you actually know who I'm talking about.
Oh, Lord. I do.
You know who I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it at the break. But what I'm talking about here is people who bring nothing to the table. Mm-hmm. They never do, and yet they want to pipe off, be it in person or on their keyboard or something, that they want to remind everybody that they're still alive because they otherwise bring nothing to the table.
You know, you talked about that federal judge interpreting law, and I think you and I could probably spend hours writing out cases where we disagree with federal determinations. You know, I have some severe problems with the 14th Amendment going back from its original ratification and all the permutations that you know, I don't always agree when people say that if government does something, it's the slippery slope. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But the 14th Amendment is a poster child for slippery slope.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And you saw this in a debate with a friend of yours on your Facebook thread one time, on your Facebook page in a thread. But to claim that a judge's determination is wrong, okay, now, you might say, I disagree with his rationale, but ultimately, that disagreement isn't going to save the dolt from being arrested. And when people look at things like the 14th Amendment and they say, well, you know, this is the way it is in America. Well, that's the way it was in America before these five U.S. Supreme Court cases. How come you have to ignore these five cases in order to say this is how America is? And ironically, and you know the guy I'm talking about, ironically, I didn't disagree with the main thrust of his comments. What I disagreed with was him excluding information that was 1,000, Bill's still getting over being sick. He was excluding information that was 1,000% relevant in order to make his argument stick.
Right, exactly. Look, I want to stick to this. This is my rationale. Okay, that's great. Your rationale is fine, but it's so narrowly defined. You must, by the way that this country operates, include this other information in there.
Right, right.
Well, I don't want to.
Yeah.
So I get that.
You know, and the irony is, and I don't think he ever even understood this, I agree with his basic premise. I agreed with it, even though I destroyed his argument and made him feel bad and he doesn't like me very much. I agreed with his premise. That's the way America was founded. I wish America still operated that way today.
Unfortunately.
But it does. And that's the part, like this guy, like the guy you're talking about. Well, you know, that judge is wrong. When you got silver bracelets on, you know, saying the judge is wrong isn't going to change anything.
You know, it's not just these two particular people we're talking about. I mean, it's all over. I got to tell you.
Tell me. I'm an ex-con.
Evidently.
People say whatever they want to say.
today, everybody's watching the show on November 5th. We recorded it on November 4th today. But yesterday was November 3rd. Now,
remember the 5th of November.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that. But the thing that I'm getting at is the first 5 days of the month, first five calendar days of the month, is a nightmare to go to the local Walmart, probably many Walmarts. And I just don't do it. Because on the first is when a lot of welfare checks come in there. They get it on their debit card, EBT card, whatever it is. And then on the third is when a lot of the folks that collect Social Security get one of their monthly checks in there. And I think there's a VA thing. I forget all of them, but there's a number of those things that land in the first three, 4 days of the month. So a lot of people go and get their monthly or bi-monthly provisions from the local Walmart those days. And it just, at the first of the month, it lands so many. There's just so many people that are there.
Yeah.
I just don't like going
I've noticed.
Unless it's very early in the morning or very late in the afternoon, in the evening. Yeah. Like after 8 or 9 at night or before 7 in the morning. Well, yesterday on the 3rd, I find myself in Walmart like 1 in the afternoon.
And how was that, Bill?
That was actually, that particular time, I just, you know what, whatever. My girlfriend's running around grabbing all the stuff she's doing. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go over here and look at this, go over there and look at that. But instead of following her around and getting in all the massive people, I just kind of did my own thing, which was totally the right prescription for me. But I got to tell you, when you're hearing some of the conversations that these people are having with their family members and other people that they see at the same Walmart every month, and just some of the things you're talking about, you just realize there are some really insignificant things going on in your life. I went into the bank a couple of days ago. And I'm like the eighth person in line, which is kind of rare. I mean, the lines don't get that deep. But, of course, what are the two guys at the front of the line, like number one and number two, what are they doing? Well, they're absolutely critiquing the operation of everybody on the other side of the counter, how they could be doing. And it's the same thing you hear every time you walk in the bank and there's more than two people in front of you. And I'm just so over. I laughed. I actually went through the drive-thru. I went through the drive-thru, and it actually was faster.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, if all you can do is sit there and not add anything,
that's
stay at home and don't add anything.
Well, better than adding crap.
Yeah.
Stand there, you know, right. Stand there quietly. I mean, I'm not telling people what to say. It's a free country. But,
yeah.
But, you know, come on. If you got nothing good to say, what's that old expression?
Shut the hell
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. But I have a question for you. You talked about the first day when they get their welfare checks. You were a cop long before there were EBT cards.
Mm.
Did in your law enforcement circles, was that referred to as Mother's Day?
No.
Okay. It wasn't mine. And here's why. Because they used to send out paper checks, right? And of course, bad guys don't have an address where you can get the check. So they would always use their mother's address.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So if you were working a gig and you were trying to hook somebody up and you knew who their mother was, what you do, if it was
just go hang out.
If it was a significant enough case, you'd set up surveillance on mom's house on like the second and the third of the month, expecting the criminal to come by to get his check, and that hence Mother's Day.
Interesting enough.
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff.
All the bad guys go to mom's house.
Yeah, at least once a month. Yeah, I get really tired of people, and it's not so much discussion. I mean, you can get into a bad mood. You can talk a bunch of smack. By the way, last week I was discussing about how people don't drive so well, and they absolutely abuse that left turn hand lane and they merge to the right.
Yes, yes.
By, after driving hundreds of feet in it.
Yeah.
I experienced that on my way in today. So I'm like, that is obviously not a viewer.
Bill's like, got his phone out. He's videotaping the bastard.
Oh, no, because then I would have gotten busted for having a handheld device and using it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Not if you were only filming to your own phone, because that's not accessing the internet or sending a message.
Yeah, and I bet you I'd still get written by a cop. As a matter of fact, there's a provision.
Who would tell you that that's part of the law, even though it's clearly
it's not part
of the law?
There's actually provision in there. If you are licensed by the FCC as an amateur radio operator, mm-hmm. and you are using your device for any of these things, including a test, mm-hmm. and doesn't define a test, then you're exempt from the law. Well, I happen to have a ham radio operator's license. So I can always claim, hey, I was just testing my phone to make sure it was still working. And I am, by then, lawfully exempt from the law.
I have to tell you a funny thing. I actually showed one of those rants to a guy that I work out around at the gym who's an NHP officer. And he looks at it and he goes, I have 6 months to cite you for this. You know, I didn't get into it, right? I'd already looked at the law because, you know what happens when a cop says, I can cite you for this? You go, no, you can't.
Right.
Then things start ratcheting up. Even though you're in the right, they get all chesty and, you know, they don't like being challenged in their authority. But I'm thinking, no, you can't.
Pretty funny stuff. Yeah, because he doesn't know where the hell you were when you actually did that, did he?
Right. And some funny, some people, they'd say, you know, I sure hope that you weren't really driving while you're recording this. And I always type back, I go, no, it's Ford's new virtual reality screen.
Yeah, it's a green screen.
Yeah. built into the windows, you know. So.
That is, again, to kind of get on my rant here, insignificant people giving insignificant comments about insignificant details that nobody else cares about. If you are so insignificant that that's the argument you're telling, I sure hope you weren't driving because of this, that, you know what? You're insignificant. Just shut up. Turn your computer off and, I don't know, go mop the floor or something. Find something more creative to go play ball with your dog if you've got one, or the neighbor's dog.
Okay, then.
I'm done ranting.
We'll be back.
See you in the next segment. Welcome back. This is segment four. This is where we go through viewer emails, which we get on a regular basis, but we'd like to get more. It's always nice to get as many as we can. We can get a feel for what it is people are thinking about out there, what they'd like us to talk about. So please send us your emails to the Dave and Bill Show at gmail.com. And anytime you want to catch up with any of the shows or listen to them.
Freeze frame. Oh, I hit Bill.
It's two-dimensional.
That's right.
Wouldn't Bruce Lee be 75 years old this year?
I don't know. What he?
I think so.
That's hard to believe.
You can always go to totallyunprepared.info, and there you can see the videos that we've done and also listen to us on audio if you prefer to do it that way. Because to some folks, we are so strikingly handsome, especially me, that you can hardly concentrate on the words. So you can just go there and listen to the audio of it.
Do you know, I actually had a woman write me. This is during the Dave Champion show. And say, I can't hardly pay attention to what you're saying because of your tattoos. It's a tattoo hater.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty. That goes back to your rant.
You should do one in like just a tank top and what they call the wife beater. I think it's more of a baby mama beater this day and age because not too many people get married anymore. But just wear one of those.
Nice, Bill.
So the rest of your tats.
You know, there's something I want to do something a little unusual. I know this is normally reserved for listeners, or viewers and their emails, but I want to do something because we've had a great show and I didn't want to interfere with any of that. I want to talk a little bit about the presidential campaign, and I want to do something that probably most people who know me will like not want to know me anymore after I say this. Okay.
Should I get ready to take off my mic?
You should be ready. Yes. Okay. I'm going to try within like 3 or 4 minutes to summarize my view of this election. The GOP has nothing to offer. And you know, I was a Republican for a long time. The reason I believe the GOP has nothing to offer is because it was the party of small government, fiscal conservative. If you looked at one thing from the Republican Party over the last 50 years, one preeminent theme, it would be small government, limited, and fiscal responsibility. Yes? Okay. Sorry. Doesn't exist anymore. And it's not a Republican problem. It's systemic to DC. That ethos, regrettably, horribly, is dead and gone. Never to return to this country except perhaps for an economic collapse. Okay? So, and then of course you bring in the hard religious right and that perverts the entire message of like say Republicanism as it existed in the Goldwater days. So I look at the landscape and I say, you know, other than maybe to the hard Christian right, and people I talked about a little bit ago, the ones, you know, that they're statists and, you know, they're the Republican Party, but they love it. Anyone with a uniform and a gun is righteous and wonderful. You know, that kind of crowd is all the Republican Party has left, in my view. And I'm not talking about you here, this party. I know it's very, it's much more libertarian. I'm talking about at the national level. It has nothing to offer. Zero. It's clear that obscene amounts of money are going to continue to be spent every year completely irresponsibly until perhaps at some point we go off the debt cliff and I don't know what will happen and that might be that economic meltdown what we're talking about. But as it stands now, profligate spending, completely irrational, irresponsible spending is going to go on without stop. So the question really becomes to me, if I look at that realistically, where do I want that money spent? If it's going to be obscene, disgusting amounts of money that should never be spent, but it's going to be spent, where do I want it spent? To murder people on the other side of the planet who've never done anything to America? Or do I want it spent here? If it has to be spent, I want it spent here. And I think people should vote for Bernie Sanders. He's smiling. He thinks I'm kidding. Okay.
Whether you're kidding or you're serious, that
I'm going to tell you
smile
why.
Just came across my
I'm going to tell you why. Now, by the way, I want you to know, I consider this like lining up, you know, 20 glasses of poison and deciding which poison wants to kill you. Okay, so I'm not endorsing Bernie Sanders. Okay, this is like, would you rather eat horse crap or cow crap? I mean, it's disgusting and horrible. It's going to kill you no matter which way you go. But what I'm hearing from Sanders, and he's a scumbag, okay? But what I'm hearing from him makes more sense than what I'm hearing from the other scumbags. Yes, he's a socialist. Do I deplore socialism? I do, okay? But the Republicans at the national level are no less socialist. They just are socialist in a different way, almost fascist because of their involvement with corporate America. Sanders wants to stop killing people all over the planet and build relationships through trade. Do you know who wanted to do that? Madison and Jefferson and George Washington. Okay, that's what this nation was founded on. So weird that a modern socialist is saying exactly what Washington and Jefferson and Madison, the model for how to build relationships internationally. It's through trade, not murdering people on the other side of the planet for corporate gain. He wants to improve infrastructure. The only other person I'm hearing say that is Donald Trump. But I don't think he's very effective as a politician. I think he's great as a candidate, just like Barack Obama was great as a candidate, okay, horrible as a president. He has a doctrine. If it's too big to fail, it's too big to exist. Okay, I'm not one for government intervention until something gets to the point where it is hurting our country. Okay, the financial sector, the investment sector, they made bajillions of dollars, tanked the world economy, and no one, and lied, and manipulated, and no one was held accountable because they're too big, okay? Bernie Sanders' argument is break them up, okay? Don't let them be that big anymore. I can't find an argument when they're so big they can destroy the world economy and no one can be touched. They need to be taken apart. And I could go on with some of his other positions, and I'm not. My point is, it's like saying the world is so topsy-turvy, we should make the Mad Hatter the president. Okay? And that's kind of where I'm at. Things are so screwed up, so bass-ackwards. What this country was cut out to be, what it was designed to be, we're not even close. We're not even within a million miles of what this country was intended to be. And I find it obscene that we had Ron Paul, okay? National Republicans wouldn't have it. They rigged the game. They broke their own rules to make sure a man who believed in liberty could not be president, okay? Now we have the current offering of Republicans, which is grotesque. And it is, I think, completely obscene that things have gotten to the point where somebody like Bernie Sanders, as screwed up as he is, he's the only one offering anything within this screwed up, ugly, horrible construct that remotely makes sense. And it's not that he's good. It's that the system's broken and there ain't anybody out there to fix it. It's how do you make the best of a horrible, 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 the place that we've come to.
Let me provide a couple comments on there. The things that you were telling me that you like about Bernie Sanders, such as let's stop going across the board and murdering
people. I prefer platform positions because Bernie Sanders personally, it's like,
okay.
Ugh.
And whatever word you want to attach to it, there you go.
Well, you can tell I'm conflicted about this.
I can tell. And then also to offer up trade, try to get things going here. These are the same things and also about spending too much money. There is a Republican who's running that has these same platforms, and that's Rand Paul. You might know that he was the only one who stood up and blatantly called out everybody in the Senate financial addicts, that they were spending addicts before they passed the most recent budget that went through, and he stood up vehemently against it, and gave what he believes is the answer for saving Social Security. He also believes we should stop going across the world and killing people. We should stop this national expansion, this empire building, if you will. We have stood up one fascist dictator after another around the world, and then we have to go back in there decades later for the mess. Mm-hmm. And everybody hates us for that. He is not a fan of that. And I have heard other people say we should get the worst possible candidate we can, be that Clinton or Sanders or somebody else, the worst possible candidate that we can.
Or Chris Christie.
And vote him in there. So the country is going on a downhill slope. It's like boiling a frog. You're slowly turning up the heat. And their rationale is, let's crank that heat all the way to high and get this pot a boiling so that we can eventually have some sort of insurrection and inevitably we'll be pressing the reset button. Let's get it going. So that's what I hear some people saying. And, of course, that's a little bit more of a fringe aspect.
That's a crystal ball aspect. Like, you can't predict. If I may, on Rand Paul, I like Rand, okay?
I just introduced him last week at a local event. He's the first candidate that's actually come to Pahrump. Mm-hmm. We've had Janet Huckabee and we've had Heidi Cruz come here, but he's the first candidate that's actually come to Pahrump.
You know, I have a couple of issues with Rand. You may know how he voted on a couple of issues where I don't know how he voted. But one of the things where I do know where he voted is he voted against GMO labeling, which I consider obscene. It's as if he's saying, as a physician, he's saying you don't have a right to know whether the food that you're purchasing to put into your body is genetically modified.
Okay, I'm unaware of that. But
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, it's one of those things where you.
And the other thing is, I don't know if he can, as a Republican, as a part of the Republican structure at the national level, I don't know if he can withstand the neocons. Okay. I don't know if he can stave them off. They're the industrial military complex. I don't know if Bernie Sanders could. I don't know if any president on either side of the aisle is my point. I'm not saying Bernie Sanders is a great guy. I'm just saying I don't know if anybody who sits in that chair can stave off the military industrial complex. But I know that the Republican Party has been much more playing on their field, if you will, than many Democrats. And I hate Democrats, okay? Don't get me wrong, but it is what it is. Bernie Sanders voted against the Patriot Act, against the renewal, and against the USA Freedom Act,
mm-hmm.
okay? He voted against all of those, okay? And you know how strongly I feel about domestic spying. Do you know how Rand voted on those?
He voted against all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
As a matter of fact, he is filibustered against the Patriot Act, filibustered against the NSA. He's done two filibusters on his own, and both of them were against Patriot Act and NSA spying and those provisions within there. Yeah.
I know we're short on time, but do you think it's possible that he can withstand, as part of the Republican structure, against people like Paul Ryan and the neocons?
I think that's an entirely different, larger discussion with
more than 40 seconds.
As a matter of fact, I had a thought just yesterday. I seem to do my best thinking in the shower.
And I do, too.
I had the thought yesterday, not in my shower, in your shower, is when you have the
never mind, let's not go there.
was how to get a regular, everyday Joe in the White House. And maybe we'll talk about that next week.
I have people all the time write me, especially after those rants, saying you should be president. I'm like, I don't think the country's ready for a plain-spoken, shaved-headed, tattooed, profane president. Not quite yet.
Maybe after Hillary. I'm just saying.
You're just killing me.
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.